Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, we're going to be continuing our mini-series called The Vow, Contracts or Covenant Contracts and Broken Promises, the nuances of relationships, the nuances of love. But when you hear the word the vow, I don't want you to think about solely marriage relationships. I want you to think about, first and most importantly, the relationship that you have with God. That is the foundation in which you build everything else upon. At the end of this message, my heart's desire is that you begin aligning your life to live out relationships the way in which God lives out relationships. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you." Anybody in here really leaning on God right now? You're in a tight moment, needing direction, needing guidance, wondering what's next. Well, we see another vow right here where God is saying, I will never fail you. For anybody who this week, you know, the world does a great job of hyping relationships and love for one day, and sometimes that can make us aware of what we don't have, what we're missing, what's not right. Know that God also says, I will never abandon you. I'll never leave you alone. The reason being is so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is your helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? The Amplified Version, it says, let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature, the true motive of who you are, be free from the love of money, shun greed, be financially ethical, being content with what you have. For he said, I will never, God said, I will never under any circumstance desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree, I will not leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Heavenly Father, we hear your word today. Sometimes in our life, Lord, it may seem like you've abandoned us. It may seem like you're not faithful. It may seem like you're giving us empty promises that you won't come through on. Lord, in the moments and the times where we question, God, can we really trust you? Are you really faithful? Do you really care about me? What I'm asking, Lord, is that the revelation of what you've promised us in your word, that you'd never leave us, that you'd never forsake us, that you'd never let us down, and we are in the palm of your hand. You're holding on to us. And we receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk about an uncomfortable facet or nuance to relationships. And that is the multifaceted nature of love. I'll share my title with you in just a moment. But love is completely multifaceted. Love isn't always black and white. Love doesn't always do what we think it's going to do, but in the end, love makes sure that we're preferred and that we have our very best. And sometimes when I read scriptures, I ask the Lord, what exactly do you mean that you'll never leave me? That you'll never forsake me? That under no circumstance, to any degree, will you ever fail me and leave me without support? Well, what God is promising us today is in his love, four things that he promises to be a sacrificial love to us. The greatest sacrifice was the most important, which was his son Jesus. And in Romans 8 and 32, it says that if he was willing to freely give you his son, there is nothing more valuable to him than that free gift of Jesus Christ. And so if he was willing to give you his son, how much more will he freely give you all things that you need in order to navigate the different seasons and places in life? The Lord promises when he says, I'll never leave you, to be a purifying love. His love is what cleans us up. His love is what grows us up. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 in the New King James Version, it says, don't you know that it's the goodness of God that leads you to change, to grow up, to be the best version of yourself? He promises to be a caring love, not someone who is aloof and far off and doesn't really care about the intimate details of your life. And God has promised to us in his word to be an unbreakable love, meaning that his love cannot be stopped. It cannot be changed. And we have to get out of our mind that, I should know better. And because I should know better, maybe God is being a little tougher on me than he was when I first started. God will not change and his love for you will not break. I love that promise to us that he's given. Because in our love, in our various relationships, we should desire to emulate God's characteristics. That when we say that we love someone, that we should be willing to love them in a sacrificial way and not a selfish way. That our love for those in which we care for should cause them to have a better life and a better quality of life than when they did before we met them. Our love for others should be in tune with what's going on, whether it's verbally expressed or non-verbally expressed, that when I'm having conversations with people, I'm not trying to rush to get my point across, but I'm slowing down long enough to hear exactly what it is, what they're not saying is actually communicating through them. And finally, we should desire to get to a place of agape, unbreakable, unconditional love, that I am committed to loving each person the way in which Scripture has laid out for me to do so, and it's not predicated on whether they treat me good or not. I simply say I love you the way God has me to love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, of course, what I'm sharing is all fine and dandy. It's exciting. It's great theory, but let's just get real for a moment. Relationships can be tricky. The ones that you care about the most can sometimes cause the most hurt. When you expose yourself and begin to trust, if you live long enough, people you trust can disappoint you and let you down. The person that you promised to spend your life with forever no longer has that desire to do so. The children in which you've raised, they no longer appreciate and honor what you've done. The relationship could be frayed. Someone could have backstabbed you. Someone could have dogged you out, betrayed you. And yet, I hear in this word that I'm supposed to have a multifaceted love. Well, the only way to do that is to have in our mind the way in which God treats each and every one of us. It bears repeating, but there is nothing anyone can do to you that you haven't done already, or even worse, to God. And yet, he promised in Hebrews 13 that I will not, under any circumstance, change my character concerning you. And as we close out the vow, I want to leave with us an idea, a thought that needs to be developed upon, because walking in love is not a destination. Rather, it's a journey. Walking in love is not something that you get to wake up and say, "Huh, I got it today, and I don't have to focus on it anymore." It is a daily decision to a commitment to treat every person the way in which God has treated me. This message that I'm going to share with you is quite the opposite from the viral preaching sensations that you typically hear in Christendom. Christendom is filled with, "Watch out, because you never know who's coming after you. And when God elevates you, it's going to expose those who weren't really for you, because everybody with you ain't for you. You need," and we begin to start looking at who can I cut off versus who can I bring with me in this journey called life. We have conflict that arises because we're different. We have different expectations, different norms. And I believe that no matter what season of life you're in, whether you're married or unmarried or kind of married or sort of in a situationship, wherever life finds you, I want to make sure that you have the foundation to love well. Learning how to develop in God's love will enhance the quality of your life. I've discovered that nothing externally will heal internal wounds. Not having more money, not having more influence, not being promoted, not, watch this, receiving everything you prayed for will change internal pain. So what God is asking us to do is, before you see the very thing that you prayed for, commit to growing in your character and in your love toward everyone. Ah, that's right. You don't get to choose who you love, because love is not yours. Love belongs to God. And he's loved you with a consistent love. So what happens when conflict arises? We don't see eye to eye. We get that feeling on the inside where it's either fight or flight. And instead of staying in long enough to reach resolution, we bail on the relationship. We bail on the commitment. But instead of running from broken relationships, today I want to talk about repairing broken relationships. I've really enjoyed being able to spend time with our church, making my rounds on the phone or on the interwebs or just in one-on-one conversations. And there was a common recurring theme that I kept hearing when I was asking genuine questions of, "How are you doing?" Believe it or not, the majority of people that said they were doing well is because, you know, I had to just cut off a whole bunch of folk, and I'm outstanding. My family, gone. Auntie and them, gone. All them, gone. I'm out. I'm doing great. Because we've trained ourselves that the more we can cut off, the less problems we'll have. The issue, which we'll talk about today, is that we're actually running from areas of growth and development. I want to be honest with you all. My life completely transformed the moment I decided that, "God, your love is the only way I want to operate." Power without love is manipulation. And most of us are praying to be elevated, but we're not praying for, "God, give me your heart to love others the way in which you love me." And so let's deal with a very tough subject: the broken relationships in our life, the people that we've cut off, the ones we said, "I ain't never talking to you again. After what you've done, you deserve to never hear from me. I'm gonna teach you with my silence. All the while saying, Lord, I love you. I thank you for loving me, as if we were perfect. As if all the good blessings that you have in your life are a result of your good behavior. So unto much is given, much is required. You see, as God begins to elevate this ministry into what he's called us to do, I don't necessarily want to be known for all the material things that we possess, but I'd rather be known for the heart of love in which we display. And in every facet of this ministry, starting from the senior leadership, that it displays the heart and character of Jesus. And quite honestly, if it doesn't, I'm getting rid of it. Just made up my mind that we're going to love the way Christ loves. And because we love the way Christ loves, that's going to have the most power. If you all with me for a moment can think about in your life the most influential people that you think of when people ask, who has impacted your life the most? That's a question in regards to legacy. And when you sit there, you always don't think about the richest person. You sit there more times than not, you don't think about the most prominent person. But more times than not, do you all have that person in your mind? That person loved and they were there. That's the church God is calling us to be. He's calling us to repair broken relationships. I believe with all my heart that you go through things to help other people get through things. And I'm sure if each and every one of us shared a very pivotal or defining moment that had a negative, immediate impact on your life, I'm sure each of us in here could have some similarities that we share. See, it's not about the negative that has happened to you, but how do you take the negative that has happened and return it with love? How do you display with all of your heart the character in which God has displayed concerning us as imperfect vessels? We must be committed to repairing the broken relationships in our life. The first point that I want to bring up is, and this is just a great relational tip, every relationship in your life should have a purpose. You should be able, with every relationship in your life, to say, why am I here? And give an articulate and biblical answer. Why are we together? Why are we in this agreement? And if it comes from a place of love, then you know it's to continue. But if it's from a place of, well, I need something from them, then you know that you're setting yourself up for disappointment, manipulation, and rejection. And if you would, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18 to give some context as to what we're discussing today. I want to show you all David before he was king. This is David after he's killed Goliath. This is David after he's had some success. And with success comes those who begin to see where they are not and therefore begin to send persecution. And so David, as he was becoming who God had created him to be, the person in which he had looked up to and that he had served, had now began to mount an attack to stop what God was doing in his life. Yet instead of David saying, listen, forget you and your whole house, David was able to see specifically, how am I to react to every situation? In essence, what I'm attempting to do is causing our EQ to grow up, our ability to love, our emotional intelligence as a community of believers to grow. Because if you get triggered and then you go off the deep end, you're not exhibiting all of the wisdom that you currently possess. I believe with all my heart, everyone in here has the potential to be skilled in walking in God's love. I just believe that there's not enough accountability to hold you to a standard that you should not be as petty as you were last year, this year. That it's not okay. That the excuse of, well, you know how I am, doesn't work in your growth in 2020. That you don't get that excuse, oh, Bible, toting, tongue, talking, spirit filled, water baptized, sanctified, and holy person you are. You don't get the excuse to say, well, listen, they push my buttons, and because they push my buttons, you know how I. You don't get that excuse. Because you have more love than you have hate on the inside of you. But what will you submit to? Everyone wants to talk about romantic relationships and marriage relationships. And listen, it's easy to talk about just the solid 1950s nuclear family, but y'all, relationships aren't like that anymore. It's complex. So for me across this pulpit to only talk about one type of relationship, I completely alienate the majority of people in this room. Because how do you work out co-parenting? How do you work out blended families? How do you work out gender issues? They didn't have all these nuances that our culture presents to us in the Word, so God gives us a basic framework where he's trusting that we'll talk to him and get some wisdom from him on how we're to operate. It's easy for me to talk about husbands. You should love your wives. Wives, you should honor your husbands. And we could laugh and we could talk. And I could tell y'all all the fun success stories that me and my wife have had over the last 10 years. But that doesn't help you. What helps you is coming to where you live right now. Because you got some folk you can't stand. And if you say you don't, you the person. The true test of your love is how do you treat the person you like the least? So let's deal with the purpose of relationships. 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4, I'm reading out of the New King James because sometimes, y'all, these other translations skimp out on these strong Hebrew words, and I don't be appreciating that. So if I switch over to New King James, it's because it's closer to the Hebrew text. Is that all right? Great. Thank you. All right. So 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, New King James. It says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. So there was a friendship. There was a relationship that was established. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home with his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made covenant. See that covenant? They made an agreement. Mark that. Because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So this signifies the beginning of a friendship. Have y'all ever met somebody who you're probably cool with today, and in that moment you knew, like, you know what, we're going to be cool. That's you. Yep. We're going to be cool. That's what happened with David and Jonathan. And they made an agreement from that moment when they knew that I'm going to make sure that as a friend that I'm going to do right by you. That I'm not going to change on you when things change. And starting off in the friendship, it's easy to say, but what happens when time, space, distance is created? Can we stay true to our agreements? What my heart is for everybody in here is that you are the same person in every setting that you're in. I pray that as you begin to embrace God's love for your life, that no matter what climate you're a part of, you stick to your values. You stick to what made you the type of person of character that God has created you to be. Hop over to 1 Samuel chapter 20. So as time progressed, so did the strain on the friendship, the strain on the relationship. It progressed. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. So at first, we see Saul saying, hey, you know what? Hey, you guys are cool. David, you don't have to go back home. You can stay here with us. We're just like one big family. That's like family to me. Well, we now skip over to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. David now fled. Like, what happened? David was on the run when we just read a couple chapters earlier. He was invited in. See, relationships go through different nuances. And sometimes we're so consumed with changing people that we end up changing ourselves. But notice how even though the relationship changed, I want you to notice David. David now fled from Naoth in Ramah and found Jonathan. What have I done? Like, what? Y'all ever been there? Like, what happened? How did we get here? He exclaimed, he said, what is my crime? Have I offended your father that he's so determined now to kill me? Jonathan protested and said, that's not true. You're not going to die. He always tells me everything he's going to do, even in the little things. I know my father would not hide something like this from me. It's just not so. Sometimes it frustrates you when you can see something and then the person you're in a relationship is completely blind to it. But don't let that change you. And sometimes, I just want to share some wisdom here. Truth out of season is received as heresy. And so my desire and my heart for us as a community is you don't have to paint someone negative if the other person doesn't see it. Let people come to their own conclusions. You really have to evaluate, you know, why is it that I'm trying to taint another person's perspective of someone else? Maybe what we had didn't work, but it doesn't mean that I now want no one else to work with them. That makes sense. I'll share something just completely, just honest and open. So I used to work at another church prior to being a senior pastor, lead pastor here. And to this day, one of my roles on the staff was to be the one to coach up, to train, to develop, to assist, to help. To this day, my former colleagues still call me and ask me how to do their job effectively. Now, the petty me would have said back then, didn't want me, now how? You know, the petty me. But every call, every text, every meeting, I'm requested to sit down and to be there and to care and to grow up. Every meeting is a test of, can I love you the way God loves you? Can I help something that is not my own? Can I be the same to you even when life and circumstances create distance? I can be honest, me saying all this godly stuff, it's when you turn your flesh off and you allow your spirit to talk. I'm sitting up there speaking through my spirit in my head saying, what in the world are you saying? You know, you need to be the best person that you can be. You need to faithfully serve their vision. You need to make sure that whatever they need, that you don't do it halfway. You give it all your heart, all your mind. My spirit is saying, be a person of character. My flesh is saying, ain't nothing to cut that. You know, so I had to deal with two realities that live. And every time I speak blessing instead of curses, every time I don't reveal something that is not time to reveal, your character grows. And so instead of being caught in the foolishness, God propels you to where he's always created you to be. Just because they're not in your life doesn't mean that something's wrong with you or them. It just could mean that you've grown. Just because people aren't cool with you don't mean you have to dog them. Just because sometimes it's time to move on doesn't mean that you have to trash their name. We've got to be bigger than that, church. We've got to walk in the love of God and understand that no matter what, if people see me fighting with my brother, people see me fighting with my sister, I detract away from what I said I stand for, which is to bring God glory. So my heart to you today is understand every relationship should have a purpose. And when you can no longer ask an answer with a biblical answer, why am I here? The next question should be, Lord, what's next? Let's keep reading in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 2. It says, I know my father wouldn't hide something like this from me. It isn't so. Verse 3. Then David took an oath before Jonathan. He reminded himself, and they reminded each other of the commitment that they gave to each other. And he said, your father knows perfectly well about our friendship. So he has said to himself, I won't tell Jonathan. Why should I hurt him? But I swear to you that I'm only a step away from death. I swear it by the Lord and by your own soul. And so Jonathan said, based off of the covenant they have, looking out for him, then tell me what I can do to help you. And so when there was friction in the relationship between David and Jonathan, they did something that I want to share with you today, and it's learning the difference between creating space versus running away. Creating space versus running away. You see, there are some times that there are toxic relationships in your life. There are some times that people are subject to abuse and all types of name calling and things that are just completely horrible. And unfortunately, a loose eisegesis of scripture and a lack of understanding of what God is saying to us concerning walking in love, people interpret that instead of when I repair the broken relationship, it always means that I stay in the environment that I was abused. Amen. That's not what we're saying. Running from the relationship means that you don't deal with the elephant that's in the room. You just go ghost. You just completely cut everything off, never to pick it up again, and leaving everyone wondering what had happened. Creating space, however, is actually a healthy thing that should be initiated in all relationships. For instance, if you're that needy friend, stop it. Stop being a needy friend. Why didn't you call me? You said you're going to call me back, and you didn't call me back. And it's been like 12 minutes, and I was just wondering. Stop. People need space. When you're dating, y'all need some space. Listen. Now, what you do is what you do. I'm not here to judge what you do. But when you get married, y'all going to be together your whole life. So while you're working on what it takes to be together, don't rush nothing. Give each other some space. Creating space is all about setting the proper boundaries to keep answering the question, what is the purpose of this relationship? See, we're only good because we're in each other's face. Or we on top of each other, or however y'all like to do that, then it's not a healthy relationship. Proper boundaries now are the prerequisites of repairing broken relationships. So before we even talk about reconciliation, before we even talk about restoration, I need to clarify where I end and where you begin. I need to make sure that it's understood you are not going to treat me like that. You don't have to subject yourself to degradation just so you can call somebody friend or say that you're close to someone. So if there's a strain on the relationship, before you can even talk about restoration, you must establish these are the parameters of which we'll move forward. If not, instead of growing forward, you'll reproduce destructive cycles. And sometimes, teaching others how to treat you means that you're going to stand alone. Not isolated, but standing all in who you are, not needing any other person to validate who you were created to be. Being comfortable enough to know that I will not be subject to abuse for a paycheck. I will not be subject to intimidation just to say that I'm cool with you. I will not be subject to abuse just to say that we're in love. You are going to treat me the way in which God has created me to be treated. And if that means that we have to have space until you understand that, then so be it. But I will not compromise my values in order to get a fake love. And so if you're unwilling to stand alone, you have to ask yourself a deeper question, because it's not the relationship, it's what's within you that is cleaving to unwanted and unnecessary attention. But being around people can distract us from the issue and the conflict within us. So creating space. Listen, it's a healthy habit prior to marriage. Because when you get married, you still need to create space. You need to be your own person still. And if you're just craving, I just want somebody to be, you are going to be a bugaboo. Let me tell you right now. If you don't like you, and you bored with you, ain't nobody else going to want to be around you either. You can't take yourself to a movie by your own self. Go on a road trip by your own self. So we make those who are unmarried feel like they're less than when they're actually getting the practice that some of us married folk missed out on. See, the same discipline it takes for me to keep on. And keeping on sleeping with Ashley is the same discipline that it took for me prior to marriage to not sleep with her. Because the urge doesn't care about the season. So you gotta tell yourself ahead of time, listen, I'm just practicing for when it's on. And sometimes when people are like, why am I single for so long? Sometimes you are so anointed that you need a lot of practice for what God is bringing into your life. Because you know you a trip. Stop flexing. I don't know why. You know why. You know why. Listen. This needs to be a series. Amen. So we have to get the strength to establish proper boundaries. And then from the proper boundaries, you're going to prune off the excess weight that you were carrying. But you didn't run from it. You helped to create the distance. There are people who I used to be extremely close with that are no longer remotely close to me in my life. The key is not to have animosity at the difference. The key is to respect the difference and leave the door open to reconciliation. But in the end, all of us need to grow in our love walk so that we can be who God has created us to be. Amen. That's all I'm going to share today. On the Monday minute, I'll give y'all the 3 points that I was going to actually talk about. And like, what are the 3 steps? I just give them to y'all. And then y'all can read it tomorrow. Number one, you need to heal first. You must heal first. It's important for you to grow so that you can deal with what is going on the inside of me. What caused? Because in every relationship, it takes two to tango. Now, we don't like to share what they did, but you know, there's some stuff you could have done better too. Number two, you need to allow God to examine your heart. Surrender your heart to Him. And say, examine me, O God. Test my motives. Test my ways. Make sure that everything about what I'm attempting to do comes from a very pure place of love. Number three. Need to ask for, watch this, we ask for wisdom, but then we need to act on wisdom and how to move forward. The key, move forward. The key, keep going. Satan uses the relationships closest to us to distract you from God's bigger plan. We must not allow him to do that another moment. By faith, I want us to make a decision. Our feelings will catch up. But by faith, as we're going to speak it before we see it. By faith, I want us all to make a decision that no matter what anyone has ever done to me, said about me, done toward me, whatever, I want you to make a decision. I already forgive you. I already forgive you. I'm not going to let my life be robbed from the quality that God is trying to send because I'm trying to hold on and rehearse what happened so I could gender up the feelings and the emotion. Ain't nobody got time for that. No. No. Let's be a people of love. Character, and I guarantee you, mark my words, you live like this, your life will never look the same. We need to talk more about this in church. We need to talk more about being intentional and making sure that, listen, boundaries are in place, but my heart is filled with God's love. Amen. Let's stand.